Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Most Christians pray this prayer on a regular basis, daily for many of us, the Lord's Prayer. And embedded right there in the middle of the beginning of that prayer are three little words, Thy Kingdom Come. We are three little words that encompass all of human history. Three little words that encompass the entire plan of God's salvation. Three little words for which we are praying for things so far beyond us. And we are asking for something that, well, maybe if we thought about what we were asking for, we might pause to ask for such a thing. Pastor Bill Swirla will join us here in just a minute. You can join us as well for the last half hour of the program as we talk about the words from the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address @issuesetc. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He co-hosts a weekly internet radio show called The God Whisperers, and he's author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled Catechism, Thy Kingdom Come. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd. Blessed Thursday in the week of Gaudete.
And to you as well.
The Rose Week.
The candles are pink or rose, depending
Please,
on...
Please, rose. Come
our,
on.
Our
Come
rose.
On. Although, as I hasten to point out, you know, just speaking man-to-man, rose is a flower, pink is a color. Okay, let's just be straight.
You know, I think that there is an actual name for the color, but I can't remember
like
what it is.
Mauve, you know. I mean, really, come on. But that's okay. We're not going to quibble about colors. It is a week of rejoicing in the somber sobriety of the season of Lent.
When it comes to the words "Thy Kingdom Come," you ask, "Do we really want that to happen?" Why do you ask that?
There's a sobering question. I'll tell you right now, there are three entities or three things that do not wish this petition to come to pass, namely the devil, the world, and our old Adam. So to answer your question, you know, us as old Adam, no, we don't want the kingdom to come. Because you know why? It means we're not in charge. We don't rule. God rules.
When Jesus says that we ought to pray, Thy Kingdom Come, in a nutshell, what is he instructing us to ask for?
Well, I think our small catechism really gets to the heart of this, and it takes it on in two parts, as it did with the first petition on the name of God. And that is the kingdom of God. First, a reminder that it's not your praying that brings in the kingdom. You know, the church doesn't bring in the kingdom. The church doesn't usher in the kingdom. The church doesn't even really expand the kingdom. The church is a manifestation of the kingdom. Big, big thing. But the kingdom of God comes, it says, by itself, without our prayer. But what we are praying in this petition is that it would come among us also. So then comes the second question is, you know, how does the kingdom of God come? And it comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit. And that's always linked through the Word. You know, Word and Spirit always go together. So that by his grace, we believe his Holy Word, faith. The kingdom of God comes when faith is created. And we lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And so when faith and the works of faith, love, are in operation, when God's Word has its way with us, its killing and making alive way with us, then the kingdom of God comes to us and is among us. Or as we Lutherans just like to say, Word and Sacrament. Where Word and Sacrament are going on, there the kingdom is going on.
Well, you know, you mentioned this just a moment ago, that one of the things we have to dispel is that somehow we are the builders of the kingdom or the bringers of the kingdom. And it's really a rather a popular notion that the kingdom is coterminous with our mission efforts or our evangelism efforts or our planting of churches. What do you say in response to that?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been doing some thinking on this lately, and I've come to the conclusion that we need to understand this petition in terms of the two kingdoms. And the two kingdoms are not coterminous, to use your word, with church and state. See, I think that's a big mistake. The two kingdoms are, there is the kingdom that man builds, that's a kingdom that's built with the bricks and mortar of temporal righteousness. And then there's the kingdom that God builds, and that is the kingdom that is founded upon the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example from the scriptures. You know, we don't build God's city, Jerusalem. It comes down to us from heaven. This is the city that God builds. And so we're not praying for some temporal kingdom, even if that temporal kingdom is the church and its institutions as they exist in this world. Those are the kingdoms that we build, and they are works of temporal righteousness. But the kingdom that God builds is a kingdom that is founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ and built on his blood and his death and resurrection. This is entirely God's work, and it is received by faith. See, and that's the big mistake, I think, that we sometimes make. Thy kingdom come means bring on the heavenly Jerusalem. Bring your city. Destroy our Babylon and bring on your city.
So what's the danger of believing that the kingdom is coterminous with our efforts, with the things that we see, that this kingdom that we pray for is essentially the product of our efforts? What's the danger there?
Well, the danger is as in everything, when our efforts flip vertically, you know, and that is, it is synergism. That is, you know, we and God working together, building the kingdom brick by brick, building our salvation brick work by work. You know, there's no difference. It becomes a profound muddling of the commands and the promises, the law and the gospel. We have our work to do here. We have our vocation to do. We have a gospel to proclaim in the world. That's true. But in the proclamation of the gospel, we are not creating the kingdom, extending the kingdom. We are proclaiming the kingdom. We're heralding the king. You know, in the same way that John the Baptizer, you know, great Lent, Advent figure going on here. You know, John, prepare the way of the Lord. The king is coming. You know, the king shall comes when shall come when morning dawns. We are a people who have awakened in the wee hours of the morning, while it is yet darkness, proclaiming the light of day. See, but our proclamation doesn't cause the day to appear. Our proclamation heralds the coming of the day. That's what the church is. The church is a herald. That's what the word preaching means, to herald, to cry out, and to proclaim, you know, that the king who is victorious, who has won the battle, is coming. Get ready.
You mentioned the word and the sacraments. How do we recognize the kingdom where it is? I mean, how do we recognize the kingdom for where it is, for what it is, as opposed to what may claim to be the kingdom?
Well, let me go down a slight detour and then come back to it. Word and sacrament, you know, that's how we recognize the church. And what is the church? The church is, in this world, like a foreign embassy. You ever think about that? You know, like the United States has embassies all over the world, and that's U.S. property. The embassy belongs to the United States, but it's on foreign soil. And the church is like a foreign embassy sitting in this world but not of this world, which is, I think, a compelling reason for not displaying flags in church, the flags of state. Fly them outside, that's fine. But you never fly the flag of the host nation inside a foreign embassy. This is the embassy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before whom every knee will bow on the last day, and who now reigns from the right hand of the Father. And so the church is that visible sign of the kingdom. How do you know the kingdom is here? The king is busy. He's preaching his word. He's administering his body and blood, the divine signs, if you will. See, the church is not signed by her magnificent hymnody or her gold or her vestments or anything else even her tight discipline or her holiness. The church is signed by the divine activities of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments, ministering out those gifts of Christ. And where those are going on, the king is busy and active.
What kind of a king is Jesus?
A king worth longing for and hoping for and expecting and praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, he is the king who does the will of his Father. And that will, the third petition reminds us, is a good and gracious will. This is the king who comes to save. Most kings, you know, they conscript an army, and you fight the battle for the king and then bring the good news back to the king that you won. But this king goes to battle alone. He goes on, he rides a borrowed donkey into his capital city. You know, he wears borrowed royal purple. He's crowned with thorns, and his throne is a cross upon which the people he came to save nailed him to. So, you know, that kind of king, or as Luther said, a beggar king in a kingdom of beggars. He brings nothing into this world, and he takes on the greatest of our poverty and the depth of our sin, and he fights holy war for us, his enemies. That's what kind of king we're talking about.
Pastor Bill Swirley is our guest. On the other side of the break, another 10 minutes with him talking about Jesus' words that he teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, co-host of a weekly internet radio program called The God Whisperers, and he's author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled Catechism, Thy Kingdom Come. If you've got questions or comments, this break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. When we come back, we'll talk about greatest and least, first and last in the kingdom that we pray for when we say, Thy Kingdom Come. Stay tuned.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Folks, we've got 16 days left in 2011. That's not a lot of time. Boy, has this year gone by We're currently just about $34,000 short of making budget this year. Our listeners are helping us close that gap, but we still need your help. As you consider your year-end giving, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a year-end tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or make your donation online safely and securely at issuesetc.org. For any sized year-end donation, we will send you a CD of two sermons that I preached, one on Christmas and one on the baptism of Jesus. Thanks for your consideration, and thanks for keeping us in mind as the last days of the year wind down. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest. We're talking about Thy Kingdom Come. One of the most confusing things, one of the things that really points out how different this kingdom is from any kingdom, there's just no corollary to this in human experience, Bill, is the way Jesus talks about first and last and greatest and least in his kingdom. How do you make sense of it?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of kingdom teaching that goes on in the teaching of Jesus, you know, that it's upside down. The first or last or first, as you indicate. Or the kingdom parables tell us a lot, too, you know, that it's basically hidden. It's a little thing in this world. It's seed buried in the soil. It's mustard seed. It's a little bit of yeast and a big lump of dough. But its power is all pervading. You know, the yeast leavens the whole lump. You know, it's vulnerable. An enemy can sow weeds in and among the wheat, but it's ultimately vindicated. You know, in the resurrection and in the judgment, the kingdom is vindicated for what it is. So, you know, it's ultimately, as we Lutherans like to say, it's a hidden thing. It's the theology of the cross, that the king, in his victory, hangs dead on a cross. And this is a great paradox to us and a great offense to the old Adam, who would like to see the glory now and have it all now and certainly, you know, bask in it, and that when that's simply not the case. This petition has a very strong eschatological tension in it, too. You know, Luther says that we may lead godly lives here in time and thereafter in eternity. You know, there's the kingdom has broken in upon us, but we don't yet fully experience it. You know, and that's the privilege of being a believer in the last times, is that we get to play as though it were day and it's still night. And, of course, the world thinks we're crazy for it. Kind of like swimming in a pool in the winter. Everybody thinks you're nuts, but we say, hey, summer's near, hop in. Kind of a baptismal analogy. I thought you'd appreciate that. you know, Martin Marty wrote a good book a long time ago in the 60s called The Hidden Disciplines, a commentary on the Large Catechism. I turn to it often for stuff like this, and he says on this petition, he says, the second petition guards against the child of God's asking too little. It implies a large enough prayer to a large enough God for a large enough life. Luther says, you know, you're coming to a king, so you know, don't ask for a crumb of bread here. Dare to ask for the kingdom. Dare to ask for the treasures. Jesus said that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, and all these things. And these things he's referring to are, you know, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? What about our life? All these things will be added unto you. And so this petition really is our tutor to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And we'll get to daily bread, you know, downstream in the prayer, but seek first the kingdom.
Okay. When we say thy kingdom come, picking up on something you just said, Bill, are we asking that we receive this kingdom? In other words, are we asking to be given this kingdom by the king?
Are we asking to be given the kingdom? I'd say that's one way to put it. That we are asking for Jesus the King to lord his death and resurrection over us in such a way that we may, in the words of the second article, live under him in his kingdom and serve him in his, not ours, but his everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. It's summarized, or it's repeated again, kind of in content, in the third petition, thy will be done, and it's already anticipated in the hallowing of God's name. God's name is holy, and God's will is done when his kingdom has come, namely when the Lord Jesus reigns over us with his death and resurrection, forgiving and justifying sinners in this life and raising them to eternal life.
Is this petition like one we discussed before, that in some sense we are praying against ourselves.
Always. Well, I mean, this petition, as I said at the outset, or as you asked, you know, do we want God's kingdom to come? And I'll answer in the person, you know, in the singular, I, as an old man in Adam, as, you know, my old Adam, that's me as I am in Adam, does not want this to happen. Why? Because I'm going to be dethroned. That's why. The old Adam wants to sit on the throne. He wants to be king. You know, we have no king but Caesar. but the new man in Christ delights in this, you see. And so we're torn, and I think that tension, that's the new man, old man tension, that law-gospel tension that exists in all of us and must exist in all of us until the last day, is that when we pray this petition, we are, in a sense, praying it against ourselves. And, you know, Jesus is speaking to the new man in Christ, the child of God, saying, Father in heaven, please, let your kingdom come among us. Let me be part of your kingdom and push my old Adam off of his throne.
How are we made citizens and heirs of this kingdom?
Only one way, Todd, and you know the way. Death and resurrection. There's no other way. That old Adam must die, Christ must rise. We must be born into it of water and spirit. We must be joined to Christ the King in our baptism through faith in his word. There is no other way. We don't work our way into this kingdom. We don't earn our way. This kingdom is a kingdom of grace granted to us, gratis, freely as a gift, and received through faith, through trust in the promise that this king is benevolent and good to us, that his will is good and gracious, and that his blood atones for our sins.
There's a great passage when Paul writes to the Corinthians, and it's right after the famous resurrection section. But we usually stop short of getting to what happens after the resurrection, where it says that Christ will deliver the kingdom to his Father after he's made all of his enemies to be a footstool under his feet. And since we're not his enemies, we can't be down there. Where are we in that scenario when Christ delivers the kingdom to his Father?
I'm glad you brought that up. I love that image. You know, when you were a kid, did you ever, like, make something you were really proud of and you brought it to your dad,
you know?
And here, I made this. You know? And hopefully he didn't say, you know, what kind of junk is that? but I have this image of the Son bringing, you know, this harvest of the resurrection. You know, all these for whom that his blood has cleansed, those who are justified freely by him through faith in his blood, are now presented, and it's like, look what I made, Dad. You know, and you know, we're part of that. We're part of that marvelous tapestry that Christ has woven. You know, doing the Father's bidding, reconciling all things. You know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and now this reconciled cosmos is delivered to the Father, death having been conquered, everything sort of pulled out of the jaws of death and delivered up to the Father, and the Son says, look what I did. Now, you don't want to get your doing involved in that, do you? You know, yeah, there's Todd in the back. Oh, I helped.
No. Pastor Bill Swirla is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. He's co-host of a weekly internet radio show called The God Whispers. We will have a link to The God Whispers at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. And he's also author of an article for Higher Things magazine titled Catechism, Thy Kingdom Come. Bill, thanks for being our guest.
Pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Devira Cohn of the Pew Research Center and to St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carol Campbell about a new poll that marriage in the U.S. is at an all-time low. It's true. There's no denying it. And not only are the ages of first marriage getting pushed off, marriage is less and less popular across all of the age groups. There are alternative arrangements people are making. Also tomorrow, as usual on Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'd like to make sure that our listeners are well-equipped to help promote Issues Etc., and this Christmas season is especially important. We need your help promoting not only talk radio for the Christmas season, but also a new venture on our part, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's a new website, 24-hour internet radio station of sacred music for the Christmas season, Lutheran Public Radio. So go to our website tonight and download and print and take to your church the Issues Etc. Christmas Bulletin insert for your church to include in all of its bulletins leading up to the Christmas season. It'll tell your congregation all about talk radio for the Christmas season with Issues Etc. and sacred music for the Christmas season with the Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org, and that's coming Christmas Eve. The kingdom of God is the gift. It is a gift that is given to us. It is a gift of which we are made a part. It is a gift that Christ will return to his Father when all things have been put right again. It is the sound of Christ's cross and his resurrection being preached every Sunday. It is the water of baptism washing away sins by the power of God's word and promise. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ for us to eat and drink for our forgiveness. That's the kingdom of God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.